feel like the start of Bible school. We used to sing, I've got the Bind Memorial Baptist spirit down in my heart. Oh, goodness. Thank you, Alice. Thank you so much. Kate, that was some good singing this morning. And your sister, thank you. Kate, we probably got to get you on the payroll. You've been up here way too much. We'll take some of your... it's good to see Janie Lister back there. I love Janie Lister. I worked with her for 10 years, and she was always a joy to come in and cut up with. And I used to call her when I was out on the road, and she'd be there at the phone. I'd call her that like I was a church up in Kentucky somewhere. We want 300 issues of Baptist a day. She'd get all excited, and all of a sudden she'd say, Keith and Tucker, if that's you, I'm going to kill you. All right. Hope you had a good week. Longing for Egypt. Longing for Egypt. Numbers chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. Well, I'm going to read all four. That night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in the desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it have been better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Well, Adolf Hitler defeated the English at Dunkirk. Experts feared he would attack England, and England was unprepared for battle on the home front. But for some reason, Hitler chose not to do it. Instead, he turned his attention to other areas. Historians tell us that if he had decided to invade England at that time, he probably would have been successful. And if he had captured England, he might have changed the destiny of the world. But he missed his chance. He let his opportunity go by. In 1984, the Portland Trailblazers had the number 2 pick in the NBA draft. They could have chosen Michael Jordan, but they chose Sam Bowie. Sam Bowie lasted 2 years in the NBA. Michael Jordan went on to become the greatest NBA player in history. They missed their chance. A young man went to college. He had grown up in the farm in North Carolina. His father had taught him everything he knew and was going to leave him everything he had. He got a scholarship to North Carolina State University, 4 years. He got there, got with the wrong crowd, stayed out partying, drinking, drugs, etc., lost his scholarship. Years passed. He wished that he could go back to school and get that education, but it was too late. He had missed his chance. The tragedy of wasted opportunity. How often this is the story of our lives and the lives of our nation and institutions. We stand on the threshold of doing something good to better the world or to better ourselves, but for this reason or for that, we let it slip by. I wonder if you're in your life, you can look back over some instances and say to yourself, "I wish I had that chance again. I'd make a different decision." I think in all of our lives there are missed opportunities that just simply won't come back. You college graduates have got a long life ahead of you. And I promise you, you will look back and say to yourself, "Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that?" Think about what you're going to do. Think about it, think about it, think about it. Such was the case recorded in Scripture today. The Israelites had gone to the edge of the promised land. The 12 spies had spied it out, scouted it out. They came back with a bad report. Among other things, they said there were giants in this land. The people became frightened. They became discouraged. They began to murmur against Moses and Aaron, saying, "Why have you brought us here? Let's go back to Egypt." They wanted to choose captains, hire some buses, and go back. Now, Egypt was the place God had brought them from. It was a place of slavery. They were meant for the promised land, and here they were at the edge of it, but they decided it was better to go back than it was to go forward. And since they decided that, they missed their chance in going to the promised land. They died on the perimeter. God raised a new generation to enter that land. Now, there are reasons why they turned back. There are some of the same reasons that you and I miss our opportunities today. We can read that story and criticize them, but then you have to look at your own life and criticize yourself. You know, the advanced scout said that it was a land of milk and honey, but it would be a difficult land to settle. It would require work, but more importantly, there were people already there. Some of them were sons of Anak, giants, big. By comparison, the scout said, we're just grasshoppers. We're scared. We're not ready to do battle with those giants. So they became frightened, and they decided maybe we ought to just go back to Egypt where we were. At least we'd be alive there. But Caleb and Joshua said, look, don't say that. We can take these giants. Let's go forward. But the majority ruled that day. And the more they talked about the giants, the bigger they got. I'm sure their imaginations ran wild with them. And in face of the fact that they were afraid of the danger of the unknown, they decided it was better to go back than it was to go forward. If that doesn't sound like a Baptist church, I don't know what does. Same is true in our lives. In the face of many opportunities, we too are frightened. We're afraid of Islam. We're afraid of atomic destruction. We're afraid of global warming, pollution, taxes, crime, cancer. We're afraid of meaningless failure and what other people think of us. And as a church, you listening? As a church, we're afraid of the new. This don't do anything new. We seem to define life in terms of what we fear. And there is much to fear. We look at the future, we're frightened by it. We stand paralyzed, afraid to assault the future. It is scary. There are many giants in this land that scare us. And while the giants are there, don't forget this, God's there too. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. God had taken care of them in the wilderness. God provided for them in the promise. God would provide for them in the promised land. You know, God wasn't too weak for the giants. He could handle their problems, but they didn't take the promised land. Fear conquered their faith. In many instances in our lives, the future does look frightening. You go to the grocery store, it looks frightening. The decisions are hard to make, but we forget that God is with us. So in contemplating a marriage, we get scared. In contemplating a job promotion, we get scared. Or any major decision, we're afraid of all those dangers that are involved in all of them. You know, it could be the marriage won't work out properly. Or it could be the job promotion may be more trouble and harder than what I'm willing to give. The decisions we make might be the wrong ones. That's true. But remember that God who guides us, we can trust Him to lead us. We just have to have faith and believe and seek His guidance in our life. Too often we stand paralyzed, making no progress at all. Some time ago, y'all have heard this before, this church was offering a new program. I guarantee you they've done it here at Vineville. When someone made that legendary comment, well, we've never done it that way before. I don't know who coined that, but they ought to get rights for it. Well, the promised land had never been lived in before by the people of God, so there was a step that had to be taken. You know, if we try something new and it isn't of God, it won't take us long to find out. But we might try something new and discover that God's in the midst of it. You just got to be willing to do it. And sometimes it is frightening. Sometimes it is scary. I hope that as a church we'll never get to the place where we're afraid to venture into the unknown. The sin of a church is not that it ventured and failed, but that it didn't have enough faith to go forward. Some may be struggling. You're here today and you know you ought to become a Christian, but you don't know if you can make that decision. Afraid. Some of you are here today and you're not a church member. You've been coming for 2 or 3 years. What you afraid of? You need to be on the inside looking out, not the outside looking in. What are we afraid of? Fear disappears when faith appears. The promised land can be ours. How many of us have headed back to Egypt because we're afraid? All of these people were saying, remember how Egypt was? Let's go back there. Remember Egypt? But the tragedy of that was they didn't remember what Egypt was like. They'd already forgotten. Egypt was a place of agonizing slavery and cruelty and man's humanity against humanity. The Hebrew people suffered tremendously there. And God heard their cries and their suffering and sent Moses to lead them out. But the responsibility of freedom was too great for them. They'd rather have the security of slavery than the responsibility of freedom. How tragic that we will sell our souls for security. They had forgotten that Egypt was a literal hell. Now, we live in a day of nostalgia. We collect relics of the past, music of the past. We're interested in history of the past, people of the past. Hardly a week goes by, someone doesn't come up and say, boy, if we could only go back to those good old days. I remember my daddy saying that one time, talking about the good old days. And he said, well, let me tell you about the good old days when I was your age. He said, we didn't have electricity in our farmhouse. I studied and read by a lantern. We didn't have plumbing indoors. We had an outhouse. We drew water for our baths and heated it. My mother cooked on a wood stove and cooked as good as any woman could today with a convection stove. He said, we plowed with 2 mules, Mike and Charlie. He said, those wasn't bad days. They were hard days. But I don't want to go back to those good old days. I like it here. But where are the good old days? Think about it. We've had 5 world wars. World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Gulf War. What was so good about that? We lived through a terrible depression, prohibition that was violent and unfruitful. We saw the rise of organized crime and the demise as well, gang-related activity, international devastation, sex trafficking, emptiness everywhere, 9/11, COVID. Where are the good old days? People say we ought to go back to those good old days when everybody was worshiping God. Well, when was that? You know, in the 50s, we had a tremendous rise in religion. Statistically, religion was booming all over the country. Those were the religious 50s, and they were followed by the terrible 60s. If there was revival in the religious 50s, it should have had better results in the 60s, wouldn't you say? But the simple reason was those revivals were statistical, not spiritual. We need to realistically remember the past like that woman in the 90s said. She said, everybody's talking about how good the gay old 90s were. Well, they weren't any good. There were problems then just as they are now. I like our times today. There are problems. It's not anything we can't overcome. The problems are here and you have to deal with problems. The good old days, they're any place, anywhere, any time when we decide they'll be good old days. Life doesn't depend upon the time we live in, but it does depend upon the faith that we live with. It's the attitude we face with time that makes the difference. At least that's the way I see it. All these Israelites who were saying, remember Egypt, forgot what Egypt was like, and they also forgot who God was. God had brought them out of Egypt, and they had forgotten who God was. God had provided for them in the wilderness. God had guided them with pillars of fire and clouds in the sky and manna to eat. They had forgotten that. Had God let them down? No. Had God forgotten them? No. Was God out of his mind to bring them to the promised land and then leave them? Evidently they thought so, because they didn't take the promised land. That was an indication they had forgotten God. God could have helped them. See, the question for you and me, the day we're living in could be the best days that there's ever been. It depends on whether or not we'll have the kind of faith in the goodness and the presence of God to believe that we can do something with this day. It doesn't depend upon the time we live in, but it depends upon the faith we live with. The God who led the people out of Egypt to the promised land is the God who can do the same thing for us, who can lead us out of Egypt, out of despair, into the joy of abundant life. The truth is, the Israelites didn't take the promised land because they were not willing to pay the price to get it, because it wasn't going to be an easy task. We're too old. We're too tired. It would mean work. It would be difficult. It would be dangerous. They wanted God to deliver them from slavery. They wanted God to provide for them in the wilderness, give them the promised land as long as they didn't have to work for it, as long as it was already cleared out and no obstacles in the way. They wanted it easily, and God said, no, you can have the promised land if you want it, and I'll help you get it, but you've got to take it. It's got to be your life given, your commitment shown. And they didn't want to do that. And they didn't do that. We would like to have a promised land flowing with milk and honey, where love is real, where joy and happiness and laughter are the order of the day, where we're confident, hopeful, and living in our faith. But the problem is that we want God to hand it to us on a silver platter. We don't want to pay the price for it. We want the benefits of the kingdom, but not the responsibilities of the kingdom. We want the glories of the cross without the sacrifice and the suffering of the cross. We want faith, maybe without commitment. Well, Christ laid down the conditions of discipleship when he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. We talk about the promised land we want. Everybody wants to go to the promised land. We want a Christian home, don't we? But there's a price you have to pay to have a Christian home. And that means you have to practice honesty and kindness and patience and long-suffering and unselfishness and fruitfulness. And that's a high price. We'll never have the kind of homes we want unless we're willing to commit ourselves to having that home. We want a Christian community. You'll have to pay the price for that too. That means involvement in community groups in order to make sure that what needs to be done gets done. It means that we have to know the moral issues of the day and to take our stand on what is right. Life in a Christian community is Christian involvement. We want a good church. Now you need to listen to this. I don't know where that came from. We want a good church. But there's a price to pay for that too. And I know a lot of us are older in here, and I know there's more of us older than are younger. I get it. But we're all there is. And it's either us, or I don't know who else it is. It's a price of involvement in worship. It's a price in the organizational ministry of the church. It means a willingness to serve. S-E-R-V-E. Serve. To sing in the choir. To take the initiative, hey, I'm going to go to the nursing home and visit some of our people that can't come anymore. It means to be involved in missions, to visit the sick, to call a sick person, to write a prospect, to visit a prospect. It means being willing to serve on the long, tedious work of the committees. It If you're a chairman of a committee in this church, when was the last time that committee met? It ain't funny. Kind of sad. When was the last time your committee met? When was the last time you sat down with your committee and y'all decided this is what our committee is going to do this fall, this winter, this spring, and we're not going to have to be pushed by the staff. We're just going to do it. We're going to get involved and we're going to get busy and we're going to do this. Come on now. It means giving time and talent and possessions. It means that church is more than just Sunday morning attendance. It's a lifetime commitment. If you want the benefits of the Christian life, we have to take the conditions of it. Take up your cross and follow me. For if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. So are you willing to pay the price? The future is before us. God will help us if we're not afraid of it. We're going to head to the promised land. I love to joke and tease about playing football at Albany High School. I always said when they put me in running back, we only had one play, take it to the promised land. If we commit ourselves to taking the promised land, we'll discover that God is with us. If we head back to Egypt, we'll miss the joys of the promised land. And you'll miss God. So which is it? Promised land or Egypt? Which one will it be? Which one will we as a church head for? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, take this message and apply it to our hearts, and I pray that we'll ponder it all week long and just think about it. And I pray, Lord, that we'll put our efforts and our sights toward that promised land, the land of milk and honey, where you want us to be, where you desire us to be. That's where we want to be. We want to do your work, your will, and your way. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is found in your bulletin. Let's stand together and let's sing.